Satanic International Network. You're listening to the news.
I find it cave every foul wicked spirit in the host, the ooze.
20 minutes, Daniel Levay, on the ooze, spread out.
On the ooze, it's gonna fucking rock. Be there.
The whole point.
To really happen to have a serial time
necessitates a certain fortitude.
Now, onto our show.
All right, you're listening for the news with your host, Steve Downey, and co-host, Jason Threll. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, man. I actually just got done with a short little marathon of this series. I guess it was called A Thousand Ways to Die or something. Have you seen this?
Is it a movie?
No, it's like a documentary series or something. They seem to be about an hour long, the episodes, and they put some really fantastic, almost unbelievable scenarios together of things that have supposedly really happened in the past that people are killed from or died from. The most notable and the one that really makes me facepalm the most is this lady apparently had this obsession about her weight, and none of the diets were working, like broccoli diet, fucking chocolate diet, Atkins, all that shit. None of it was working. She just kept getting fatter and fatter. So she gets the bright idea to eat a tapeworm. I mean,
dude, I have a show, but I don't read about that.
Dude, I mean, if there was ever any question that an evolution has already taken place in the Homo line, this is clear indication that the de-evolution that I've been proposing has happened is definitely there. I mean, who the fuck says, hey, I'm going to put this parasite in me, I'm going to swallow it, and this is going to be my weight loss program?
You know, now that I think about it, I'm on a project right now where I'm looking at a lot of old vintage advertisements, and one of the advertisements I ran across was a medical company selling paralyzing tapeworms for just that purpose. I don't know if the ad was true or not, but it was true. It was time in the 30s or 40s. Doing a tapeworm there to wait to lose weight.
It's just the most moronic shit I've ever heard, man. I mean, I'm just like, I facepalm the shit out of myself with the whole deal. Or how about these jackasses that snorted ants? They snorted ants. And they died from that. Unfucking believable. I mean,
is this the old Faces of Death series?
Kind of. It's called A Thousand Ways to Die, and there's some really campy humor attached to it, but, I mean, some of the scenarios that they're putting out there, you just can't, you can't even imagine that somebody would have the bright fucking idea to do the things that these people do. I mean, like, there's one dude who, I guess he gets his kicks from having sex, you know, with a stun gun on him or whatever. Well, the stun gun was no longer stimulating his libido, so he decided instead to hook up to his motorcycle battery.
Hey, real quick, folks in the chat room, just know that there's a real event going on my end, so I'm going to duck out and call back in, all right?
Yeah, that's fine. In the meantime, I'll kind of ramble on about the fact that I cannot believe that the human race is fucking, it has come to this. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. I'm just like blown away after watching just a couple of hours of this shit. You people are fucking stupid. 99% of you, you're idiots, you're morons. Why would you swallow a tapeworm? Why would you fucking, you know, do half the shit? Why would you snort ants? For Christ fucking sakes. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound like I'm fucking standing on my high horse or whatever, but it's just ridiculous. It's snorting ants. That just sounds like a good time to me. It's like these idiots that crush up bath salts and snort them. I mean, of course the shit's not good for you, you dumbass. It's a bath salt. It's not meant to go up your damn nose.
When you get desperate enough for a high, hopefully I think the echo has been resolved, but when you get desperate enough for a high, you're willing to try just about anything.
It's unfucking believable. It just goes to show, like I said, man, there was somewhere along the line, and I'm not really sure. I'm assuming around the age of enlightenment, there was a diverse split that happened in the human psyche. One half of it went to complete fucking moron, and the other half of it went to utter genius. And there really is a hard line drawn between them.
I would theorize that not even half. That a rare percentage achieved genius, and the majority of the majority of people went to, you know, the utter stupidity.
Yeah, I mean, it's just fucking blows me away, dude. Tapeworms, I mean, they just continue to grow and breed the entire time they're in you. And they don't just eat the food you eat, they eat your shit as well. I mean, that's common sense. We've all seen that rabbit laying on the side of the road, worms crawling all out of its ass, and we've been able to go, oh yeah, that thing's dead because it's got worms. I mean, come the fuck on.
Well, it sounds like a fucked up series, man. It sounds like an interesting watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's on Netflix right now, dude. If you got Netflix, just type in 1,000, the number 1,000, Ways to Die. And fucking sit back and just die laughing. I mean, it's just unbelievable. It's funny because I was like feeling almost bad because I hadn't done a lot of homework in terms of, conspiracy theories or whatever. And I realized that, you know, this is like the ultimate human conspiracy here. We, the independent, strong-minded humans, are tricked into believing that we're part of this fucking subculture that exists around us that's filled with these half Neanderthals.
We're having some technical issues here. I just had to call back in after I lost my signal, but so you're saying the what? The what?
Oh, I was just saying that the biggest conspiracy of the day is that that we the independent, you know, intelligent people who actually have a brain are tricked into believing that we're part of the same species as these half Neanderthals.
It's maybe an unspoken conspiracy. But if you look at like the public education system in the United States, when it was founded, it was explicitly stated that the intent was not to educate people, not to teach them how to think, but to instead make them better workers, make them more manageable. And I would theorize that our social programs have been based on that model ever since. That's not about improving people's lives, it's not about free stuff, it's about making people more manageable, making them a more efficient workforce.
Right on. Well, real quick, I just got a comment on this in the chat room. Jason's echo will clear up in the next couple of minutes. For whatever reason, the first few minutes of any blog talk radio show that we do is plagued with these fucking issues. So just hang in there, and eventually, you know, it will power through. And in the meantime, I mean, you get a double dose of Jason Sorrell instantly. So, you know, no complaint. So,
that really sense anyway.
It didn't.
No, I said I rarely make any sense anyways.
Oh, yeah. It happens on occasion. No, actually, before we even get into the show, dude, I've got a... And I know you haven't seen my comment yet, but I got to like clap because your latest blog on freedom is absolutely excellent. Probably one of the most inspiring, or at least thought inspiring, blogs that I've read in the past couple of weeks. So, you know, kudos to you, man.
Awesome, thanks.
Awesome, thanks.
Man, for all you folks wanting to know where that's at, just go to, I think it's crawlingchaos.blogspot.com. Is that right, Jason?
Crawlingchaos.blogspot.com.
Oh, are you stuck with that COC crap at the end of it?
It's there now. I just haven't gotten around to changing it because that means going through and changing all the... I need to do it, man. I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to accept jobs, you know, but another thing to give any free advertising. I know you're above that.
Right on.
And I mean that in the nicest way, you know. Usually the Jason Sorrell I've known for the past decade only whores himself, so.
It's just I just haven't gotten around to making a change. I know I changed the other blog, so look for me to get taken care of here either tonight or tonight. Right on, man. Right on. Well, either way,
in the meantime, folks, you can go to creativeoddities.com to actually keep up with where the new blog address is going to go. But seriously, the Freedom blog post, excellent, man. I left you a small commentary. There really wasn't a lot left to say about it, so.
And I did comment on all the blogs, and I wanted to point out the blog that I'm really looking for comments on is the artwork blog, because that's kind of my main thing, is the artwork. I know the echo's really bad, so I apologize, but Creative Oddity Studios, blogspot.com, check out the artwork and art thoughts on the artwork, and let me know what you think. Definitely, of course,
I think you're awesome. I mean, you've always been my favorite artist, at least as soon as I found you. You kind of replaced all the people that beforehand I thought were very talented. I'm actually kind
of afraid to talk because of the fucking echo, dude.
Is it still echoing in your ear?
Yeah, it's still echoing in my ear, too.
All right, let's try for a third time as a charm. And in the meantime, I'll put up a piece of our genius, the exorcism, and that'll give you plenty of time to do whatever you got to do.
Okay, hang on.
I'm on the cave, every foul wicked spirit in the host, the ooze, and every listener to this board in the name of Jesus Christ.
I command your demons to be bound and dead, and they manifest and come up and out in the name of Jesus Christ, their deliverance.
I cut off all connections to your power, demons, and any reinforcements in the heavenlies, and I put cages of the Holy Spirit covered with the blood of Jesus over your covenant and organizations in the name of Jesus Christ.
I command every effigy, curse, spell, and hex, potion, lotion, and any other form of spellcasting of witchcraft that you sent against me, or anyone I know, to return 1,000-fold to the head of the original demonic sender in Jesus' name.
I lose the spirit of Babylon into your foul spirits, and I command them to be blinded and confused in the name of Jesus.
I pour the blood of Jesus Christ down your foul spirit's throat, fill the cages of your demons to the top with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Lastly, I command war in your demonic organization and command all lower-level demons to attack you as a strong man in Jesus' name.
I also cut all silver cords of anyone listening to this show who astral projects in Jesus Christ's name.
And shout to Jesus Christ, the first time we were shooting until no one ever heard of a song that was hot.
And off the
statues and an evil under a law hanging in this year's little time to your old man's highest house. Just as he spells with the plastic, and immediately the shake of it with the unscreened plaster, not just as he spells with the old plastic. It needs to be in the degree of the house. My man, I'm not very thoughtful, and he's all right, but there is something about it. And to these weird men down the book, and see that it's all in Latin. And if you realize, man, I'm going to read something that you should have to when the guy bucks and all the billion, and sure, that's happening. Oh, I'm sure, he's a fat, you've been there with that. Now, I'm just used to come in, but this isn't all this about, or you're one of these, but I'll put a book very cool. This is the fact, the embedded, and don't be reading the news, or I'll bring it to the top, but I got it.
Damn, that's loud. Just, yeah, that's got to be
better. Yeah, I think I'm on here. I think the echo's been resolved.
That's awesome, man. Every time I hear that, I have to crack up and laugh. That has to be the best fucking 5 minutes of my time I ever spent putting that little exorcism together.
And you know, we never really went into the story about that exorcism or whatever it is. That exorcism, those are the best thing that was actually left on the news page by some dude trolling us or whatever. That makes it just that much more funny.
Yeah, it's just brilliant in that manner. You can still actually see the original lyrics there, all written out by its original author. If you just cut the front page and scroll down in the commentary. So where do we start on the conspiracy theories?
Well, I thought I would, my favorite conspiracy theories has to deal with any organization, any super organization or shadow organization secretly manipulating politics and religion and social issues for their own benefit. I always call bullshit whenever I hear any of these various theories. But if anybody wants to call in and talk about their favorite conspiracy theories while we're discussing these things, the call in number is 347-989-1371.
Right on. Right on, right on, man. So, yeah, Illuminati-style conspiracy theories. Is that what you're going after, like the Rosicrucians and...
Exactly.
What was the Merovingian line? Is that the most...
The Merovingian line really is a conspiracy theory about controlling the world. It's more about, you know, the different bloodlines in Europe and things like that. But it's related. It's all related. And it doesn't really matter what nation you put at the top of it. Whoever's trying to control everything, it's the conspiracy theory itself that we're all being manipulated. We're all being controlled. And I would say that any attempt to control us in mass is blatant. It's right there in front of us. It's corporations. It's governments. And thankfully, they're not coordinated enough to really do some damage. Otherwise, we would have been enslaved a long time ago.
Right on. Well, as far as I understood the Merovingian line, it was supposedly the 13 bloodlines that ruled this planet, that they somehow secretly, from every corner of the world, pull the strings, you know, in their little puppet master's booth. All, you know, behind the scenes and all that shit. And I always just fucking chuckle and laugh whenever I see that shit, because you're absolutely right, man. If there was some bloodline, at this point we'd all have slave collars on our neck and digging in some coal mine or something like that. What's power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Is that the old axiom?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just ridiculous to think that anybody in this world has it together enough to be able to pull off something that big. But I do believe there are some smaller conspiracies that actually happen. Like, I'm not necessarily against the idea of, like, false flags being used in some kind of political, I don't know, offset or standoff or to force some war or something. I believe that. But it seems to me that what stops the idea of one guy being able to rule the entire world is the fact that there's at least 100 more that are within a couple of million or something in terms of wealth. I mean, there's nobody who's so far ahead of everybody else that they could just completely and totally wipe them out.
Well, yeah, absolutely. It's always a bid for power, and it's always a very loose coordination between governments and social movements or what have you. You've got a person who can lead his infrastructure, can lead whatever organization he leads that he pretty much has contact with. I mean, imagine trying to run an organization where there are multiple tiers between the guy making all the decisions and the soldier with the grunts on the ground. It's almost impossible to have that type of control handled by such a small group of people. And I wanted to touch on real quick the Merovingian bloodline. The Merovingian bloodline is the theory that all these different royal houses, all these different royal families, are somehow tied to a royal bloodline, the bloodline of Christ. And that comes from the Egyptian practice of marrying, trying to stay married to a bloodline that is continuous. And it was a maternal bloodline. So it was always a royal bloodline. When the Europeans picked up on that, especially during the Roman Empire, Julius Caesar claimed to be a son of Apollo. And every emperor or every Caesar after him claimed to be the son or grandson or nephew somehow of some god, you know, whether it was Jupiter or, you know, Apollo or whoever. So the Merovingian idea came into vogue, of course, when converted to Christianity. And with the conversion of Christianity with only one god, well, then it wasn't cool to say you were descended from Apollo anymore. You needed to be descended from Christ.
Right. Right on. Yeah, I mean, the whole thing's insane, man. I've seen all kinds of things that are based on it. I've read all kinds of stuff that's based on it. I'm trying to remember, just recently, there was an actually fairly decent conspiracy theory movie out there. It was a YouTube movie of sorts, or a documentary. And everything has really good information right up until you hit the final, you know, all this stuff's connected. And then that was it, man. It just took a huge crap. I mean, it was like it ate a dozen jalapenos.
Well, that's usually where it falls apart. When you're lining up your facts and you're historically accurate, and then you try to put that bow on it that ties it all together, and that's where the shit just breaks apart. But we were talking about these world controlling theories, these shadow organizations running things. I think what you were talking about with the 12 tribes or 13 tribes is related to the Protocols of Zion, or Protocols of the Elders of Zion, which is a conspiracy theory saying basically that the Jews have a plan, and this is a multi-millennia plan for taking over the world. That they see themselves as the chosen people. The rest of us are goyim, we're cattle, basically, and it's their place to manipulate us and use us for their own needs, whatever that might be. The Protocols of Zion have already been proven false. It's already been established that it was a hoax. It just fuels these anti-Semitic organizations, including Adolf Hitler, who was a major proponent of the reality of these protocols. And, of course, if that type of thing were going on, well, then how do you, explain a whole nation or a whole continent, Europe, really, either killing off or expelling, every Jewish person in that country? you know, during the 1930s and 1940s. How do you explain, you know, even going back into, you know, Jewish history, the many empires that have rolled through Israel and, you know, moved all these people out? You would think that they were, if they were in control of things, their control would be a little bit more protective of their nation. Even today, you've got, you know, the Palestinians knocking on the border and everything else. You got, there was a shooting today. The Israelis, you know, defending their border, the Palestinians rushing their border, that was organized. They talked about that on Facebook of all places. But you think if these people had more control of what was going on, they would be able to keep that from happening. Their hold on power wouldn't seem so fragile.
Right. I'm just kind of blown away by all these things, man. All I do is just facepalm the entire time I hear about them. So, excuse me if I don't have a ton of commentary on them.
Right. And when the methodology, when you sit there and go, well, if they're running the world, whoever it is, whatever organization it is, when you point out that, well, if they're running the world, they're doing a really shitty job of it. Okay. It's almost, I would almost say that I would be down with a one world government. I would be down with some people stepping up and going, we're going to organize this shit. We're going to straighten everything out. Because at least then something might actually get done. But point out that, you know, if there were a one world government, things would be run better. The conspiracy theorists, the diehards on this go, well, that's part of the conspiracy. They make themselves look inept. They try to make it look like they don't exist. So whether it's the Illuminati, the Protocols of Zion, the Bilderberg Group, any of these different organizations, any of them whatsoever, the conspiracy theorists do more to fuel the idea that somebody else is controlling their lives than any other organization out there.
Right. Some years ago on the internet, I think like right around the turn of the millennium, there was this website, it was called Zion Ministries or something like that. I don't remember what the exact fucking web address was, but they went one step further than proposing the secret organization. They mixed it all into the, you know, end times apocalyptic prophecies of Revelations, and I used to get such a fucking kick out of that website. I would spend hours just reading over it and double checking stuff because they would, you know, they'd throw up some cool stuff. I mean, it always ended in kind of a train wreck, but in the meantime, they brought attention to things that were relevant. I mean, they were actually where I found out that at one point or another, we would have this proposal of a North American identification card, one that was, you know, usable through all three countries that were occupant of North America. And then further, you know, the whole ID implant, you know, the little, like they do with dogs right now, they put a little implant in them and you can scan it. I mean, and these things were all being talked about. It had to have been 97, 98 on the internet at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to, I mean, it was cool stuff because there were sciences that were being developed at that time that you could check out. But of course, you know, that little implant, that's the mark of the beast. And the word stigma means 666 in Roman, but it also means implant or mark. And, you know, just ridiculousness wrapping it all together. It's like they got all these neat little facts put together, and then they decided to try to tie everybody's shoes together and hope that one pair of shoes came out tied right.
Well, right, right. And the thing with conspiracy theorists is that they're hobbyists, and this takes the priority in their lives. So they're very good. Conspiracy websites are very good at filtering information, at finding every little, you know, bit of data that they could possibly tie together to support their theory. So it's very informative across the board. And with the identification chip and everything else, it seems to recycle also, because when the Social Security card came out, when we moved to a social security program, there was such an outcry about that being the mark of the beast, everybody being required to carry this card with and being assigned a number, that the cards themselves for a long time were printed with a statement saying this number cannot be used for identification purposes. And of course, now we use it for identification purposes all the time. Also, you'll notice that on those cards, the way the number is formatted, 3 digits, 2 digits, and 4 digits, when the card was originally formatted, when the original formatting was introduced, it was 3 digits, 3 digits, 3 digits. It's a 9-digit number. And the concern was, or the outcry was, is that those 3 digits were somehow going to be able to mathematically be calculated out to 666.
Right, yeah.
They went to a 2-4 number scheme to avoid that situation.
Yeah, I remember, I actually remember reading some stuff about that, so I don't remember where I picked it up, but I always thought that was interesting because they try to use things like numerology and whatever else, you know, different mathematical formulas. Like, I heard that the Pythagorean theorem was actually the formula to determine the Antichrist, that you could plug some particular number into the A and B slot, and then from there you would come up with the number of the beast. But, I mean, obviously, that's you could determine what that number is then without, you know, actually not having to know what it is. You know, that's the nice thing about the Pythagorean theorem is that it works backwards and forwards.
Right, right. And this kind of thinking with conspiracy theorists, I mean, it's like with the Bible, with the Christian Bible. You can use text from the Christian Bible to pretty much prove just about anything. And when Christians talk about it, I mean, we'll talk about a conspiracy theory. When Christians talk about the Bible, they use the argument that it's the Word of God, so everything in the Bible is true. And then they reverse the argument, well, everything in the Bible is true, so it's the Word of God. That they use the Bible as evidence of its validity. The Bible itself is its own evidence. You know, and they miss out on how illogical that is, how that doesn't make sense, that you can't use something to support or validate itself.
Yeah, they don't get it, and I mean, fortunately, to a lesser degree than Muslims, you know, their Quran, it's the perfect book. You don't ever have to read another book. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't read another book. That's the only book that has perfect knowledge.
Right, and like I was saying earlier, you don't have to look for hidden conspiracies. There are, you know, right in your face conspiracies going on. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood movement, that whole situation. And the thing is it works on two levels, because there's one level where it's a legitimate movement. They have very legitimate concerns. And you have people who are just like anybody else, who just want to make sure that their rights and their privileges and their society is maintained. They could give a shit what we're doing here in the United States. And then you've got this fringe element, the other side of it, who insist that the only way to secure those things is by destroying everything else. And that's where this is where I see conspiracy theorists as wasting their time chasing after the Bilderberg group, the Illuminati, the Zions, the Zionists or whatever, when there's real shit going on out there that needs to be dealt with.
Yeah, and there's real shit, and what's fucked up about it is that it seems like any ridiculousness that we can perpetuate to just kind of ignore the fact that everything's going to shit in a heartbeat is just it blows me away, man. You'd rather, you know, spend your time surfing these different ideas on the internet trying to connect this huge, you know, theory that shit might be all crazy and kooky. But I mean, anybody who's seen Beautiful Mind, you know, the movie The Beautiful Mind, you realize that it's quite potentially that you're batshit fucking crazy.
Absolutely. And you know, that's the brilliance and the danger of the mind, is that this is where you exist. you don't exist in this reality that you see around you. You don't exist in this place that you reach out and touch with your hand that you see in front of your eyes. You exist in your head. So whatever it is you think, whatever your perspective is, that tends to shape your reality. And if you get into something deep enough, well, then your perspective stops being objective and becomes very twisted.
Absolutely. It's just amazing the kind of shit that you'll do to try to bend things to fit whatever it is that you think. I see it happen just not even on the conspiracy level. I see it happen with words, with fucking, occult texts and stuff. I see people take every little thing out there and they twist it and bend it to fit whatever they think, and they don't realize that at a certain point there's a snap and it just becomes obvious that they're full of fucking shit.
But yeah, it's especially when they're talking to you about your ideas. That's the loop I love seeing these people use, is that I want to talk to you about your ideas. I want to know what you think. I want to hear what you have to say. They truly could give a shit about what you think and what you have to say. But when you start in on expressing your opinion, when you start in on explaining the way you think, they start trying to correct you. They start trying to guide you towards the way they think. There are a couple people in the Sin forums right now who have such a preconception about what it is they believe in or what it is they're going for and trying to understand what they blatantly say. They either don't understand or they approach from a different direction. And it's not a matter of them going, you know what, I have some different ideas about this, but I want to hear about your ideas, just to learn, just to kind of broaden my options. No, it's I want to hear about your ideas so I can turn around and talk to you about mine. And then if you don't agree with my ideas, well, I'm going to get all shitty about it. I'm going to, call you out on everything else. Not that, okay, we have different ideas and there's different ways of expressing yourself.
Right on. And I think that's really the whole silliness of it. I mean, I wonder if some of these people I know some of these people paranoid to the point where they buy a little bunker in West Virginia on some mountain and bury themselves in there as much as they can.
All right, and that's actually happened several times in history, especially with these end-of-world cults, where they're so sure that the shit's going to hit the fan. But they literally, they either end up, buried alive, like you said, or they kill themselves through something. Now we got about 20 minutes left before the end of the show. The call number again is 347-999-1371. We would be remiss if we didn't talk with conspiracy theories, if we didn't talk about the satanic panic and the conspiracy theory that the world is being ran by a secret Satanist or Satan-based organization.
Yeah, what is it, the Skull and Bones or whatever?
It's any of them. The Skull and Bones organization is a Yale fraternity or what have you. They happen to have a number of powerful members who have been Skull and Bones. They also have a number of people who have not amounted to shit, these Skull and Bones. You don't bother trying to account for the losers. You only account for the ones that made something of themselves. And then you make a big deal about it.
Right on. I mean, they show pictures of this huge owl statue and George Bush with his, fingers up and the Go to Mendes sign. And it's just, it's laughable at best. I mean,
here in Austin, Texas, this is the city for University of Texas right here. We're the University of Texas Longhorns. So any game day, you can look around and you see people throwing up the horns, basically that salute, the satanic salute right there. They do it all the time, and what they're doing is it's just a Longhorn symbol as far as they're concerned. It's not what the theorists would like it to believe it is.
Right on. And to kind of stay consistent with the whole satanic panic thing, what really got interesting to me about that was the people who came out in defense of Satanism at that time, with the exception of maybe one or two, they were just made it all the more worse in terms of media appearance, you know. The way that they postured themselves, I can think of one individual in general, one that you're familiar with as well, that, you know, went on talk shows to stick up for Satanism, and his blatant arrogance was enough to make people go, yeah, whatever, dude.
Right. Or when they would come out, you know, and it was every other guy had it, was their head was completely shaved, the wearing black. You never saw somebody that was just normal. Well, you did. Eventually you did. Eventually people like the FBI and the CIA came out and started asking questions like, you know what, you're saying that these women are breeding babies. Where are these charnel houses where these bodies were cremated? Where's the, you know, where are these temples at? Where are these places at? You know, these crematoriums, where are they at? Show us one. And so when the people that actually think about these things stepped up and said, this is what's going on, and called them out of their bullshit, it all went away. But for a while, you had people on both sides milking it. You had people like who we're talking about, we're not going to name names here, but there were several like him who, this was their claim to fame. And some of those folks, even today, are still trying to milk that, you know, bit of fame, that bit of infamy. They were on Donahue or something once back in the 80s. I mean, it's like being on Springer, basically, back then. And, you know, that was their claim to fame. That was the high point of their life, and it's been downhill since then.
Yeah,
on the other side, you got all those Christians that were, you know, they were going around not just doing talk shows, but going to different churches, going to different, you know, Christian clubs and everything else, and getting paid to speak about their experiences with Satanism, either fighting against Satanism on the streets, basically, or they were converted Satanists themselves who found Christ and now they're trying to put the word out about Satanism. There's such an industry for this, and you know how I am about fucking looking to make a buck, all right? I have seriously considered writing a book and billing myself under some pseudonym or something as a reformed Satanist, deep in, you know, into the satanic infrastructure, who's coming out of the world about the evil Satanism that you need to look for.
Right on, man. I think I heard what you said. I'm breaking up on my end a little bit with your connection again. But what you're basically saying is you've thought to market yourself as actually being a defecto Satanist.
Right. And writing a book where Satanism presented as not what it is,
must be a conspiracy, because you just broke up for me that whole thing. I mean, I literally only heard the New World Order does not want us to put this information out there. We've stumbled onto the conspiracy. This is what happens every time we talk about conspiracy theories, by the way. The second that you start poking into them, some guys in black trench coats with black glasses and neat little fedora hats sneak into your back room and kill off your family and drag you away. So, the ooze has now been infiltrated.
Do I sound any better?
Yes, you sound much better. Apparently, we were able to shake off their bugs, so this is good.
What I was saying was that at the core of the conspiracy theory that Satanists are running the world, is that, you know, those of us who are, you know, are Satanists, who know what Satanism is about, know that you can't get three Satanists together to agree on the color of shit at any one given time. How are these people going to come together and develop an infrastructure and rule the world?
Well, that's simple, because they've always done it. They've always been, you know, they've always been there. The rest of us are just sycophants. I mean, I guess this is only kind of sort of tongue-in-cheek, because in some senses there is a great divide, but I won't labor that point, man. We'll stick to the idea that, at this point, it's ridiculous to think that somehow, you know, a group of Satanists could come together and strongly build some kind of secret organization that eventually would control the entire economic system as it is now. But I have a question for you.
Okay.
My question for you is, if it really was the case, then why is it that most of the memes, most of the social and cultural ideas out there are of a very Abrahamic flavor?
I think that is just, that's part and parcel with being in the society we're in and the route that society has evolved from. And I think I do see signs of us moving away from that, that we're beginning to lose our infantile need for religion altogether. That it's not just dropping away from the Abrahamic tribes or the Abrahamic way of thinking, you know, good versus evil, Zoroastrianism, whatever, but really going, you know what, it's none of that is necessary. And there has to be a true higher purpose that is self-evident and self-determined, not based on some, you know, some entity someplace slapping your hand if you don't do what they say and rewarding you if you do. But I don't think it's – and that's the thing. That's with conspiracy theories. I mean, you could just see this evolving naturally if you look at history. You could just see it just kind of growing out from that. So, you know, it's not just the tribes of Abraham that worshipped a particular god or whatever. It was, you know, almost – the majority of religions of the day were involved some sort of deity. I mean, that was just the trend, if you will. People believed in the idea that nature or the forces around them were represented by some sort of deific force, and that you could appease these gods and gain benefit. And what you were actually appeasing was whatever priesthood or government or whatever represented those gods. So, yeah, I don't see it as conspiracy. I just see it as an old trend that we're breaking away from.
I really hope so, man, but I see a lot of sheep getting their wool painted black, man.
Right, and you do see, and I think that's going to be part of the growing pains, and you know, that actually kind of gives me hope in the direction that we're moving in, because when you see so many, you know, for what you just said, so many sheep, so many people willing to submit, who are dabbling in the idea of freeing themselves, who are dabbling in the possibility that of self-determination, who are starting to express their ideas in our language and using our symbols, that means that we're having an influence. They recognize that their time is coming short, you know, whether it's, you know, as a whole. They recognize that the time is coming short and that they need to pick up a new way of thinking if they're going to evolve. And this is just part of that transition.
Right on. I just hope, you know, well, actually, I can't even say that so much. I just really don't want them to get any of the stupid on me while they're playing with my symbols.
Exactly. Well, and I think it's like Michael Jacquin said in an episode or show a few weeks ago, or maybe a month or so ago, that he sees a time coming when the real Satanists will simply abandon the term because it will be co-opted by, you know, the sheep. It'll be co-opted by these people who are, you know, still looking to follow, still looking to submit. And you and I have seen that for, I mean, how, you know, the last dozen years or so that that's going on. Yeah, that very rarely do you run into a Satanist, you know, whatever that might mean. Usually you run into somebody that is following somebody else's ideals, following, is being defined by somebody else's values. But they haven't figured it out yet that they need to do it for themselves.
Right, and sadly, there's, you know, people who should well know better still perpetuating that same cycle of things to happen, encouraging people to pick up their doctrine and support their cause, and, you know, hijack their mem or whatever the thing may be. You know, ultimately, it's sad because those people, in my opinion, are worse than a million of these mundane fucking Homo Malaysian motherfuckers. I would rather deal with a barrel of idiots than one person who betrays the notion of individuality when they understand it fully.
Well, that's the thing. They muddy the waters. That's what makes those people difficult to deal with, but it's part of the process, in my opinion. It's part of that social evolution, that if these waters are muddy, we need all these different people coming at us with all their incorrect ideas so that all those incorrect ideas can be shot down one after another, you know, and the people will judge. They see these debates. They see these discussions between folks like Dan Dredd and this other guy or whatever, and you know what? You can't, this whoever this other guy is, he's right in his head, and he has every right to be and think the way he thinks. But who are you going to align yourself with? Who is your thinking going to be more like, more closely aligned to? Dan Dredd's thinking? Do you agree more with? Is your model closer to his or to this other guy's? And I think these opportunities are a way to weigh it one way or the other, basically. It's, you know, there's the old way of thinking. There's the old, you know, mimetic process of submission and obedience and, you know, kissing ass. And this is the new way, the brave new fucking world where you make your own path and do your own thing. And if it works for you, great. If it doesn't work for you, you learn from it and do something else.
Right on, man. I mean, but the thing is, dude, nobody's ever going to get that, at least not most of them. You know, even the ones that think they've got it, They don't. I sit and watch it happen all the time. I mean, I get to a point sometimes where I have to literally just close the computer screen and stare at the wall for a little while to try to work out all the little fucking idiotic nuances that I've seen. Just things that would make perfect sense. Like, you know, someone saying, Satanism is about defying, you know, the greater system, and then in the same breath saying that they want to align themselves with the force of Satan, you know, to merge into it or however they want to phrase it. It makes me want to run face first into a big fucking spike.
And I agree totally. It's sometimes hard to deal with, but again, it's just part of, I think it's part of this, the growing pains, the moving forward. And you know what? The world's always going to need followers. The danger is going to be when the leaders or the individuals decide that it's not worth being an individual, that they're better off being followers rather than individuals. When that spark dies out, to co-opt somebody's phrase and use it properly, when that black flame is finally extinguished, then we're all fucked. That's when society, that's when the species stops evolving.
Okay. And I think the only really responsible thing that we can do for people of, you know, our caliber, I don't want to say our caliber because that would be wrong in my measuring, but people of a similar mindset, and I said this yesterday on my show with Dan Dredd, and the only thing you can really do is poison the ground that they feed from. You know, and our only hope at this point is that there is some kind of global catastrophe that happens. You know, otherwise we're overwhelmed, dude.
Yeah, Right. Well, yeah, and it's as we've talked about, not that it's a conspiracy that some shit's going to go down, but it's a mathematical certainty. You know, whether it's disease, whether it's warfare, you know, something's going to happen when we reach enough differentiating of hostile organizations with enough firepower to annihilate one another. There's going to be a significant reduction in the population at some point. It's just the process of nature. It happens even in animals that don't have the technology that we have. I'm not necessarily looking forward to it, but it will be what's necessary for our species to continue to evolve.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I just can't wait until that lottery ticket gets pulled, dude. I just can't wait. I mean, after seeing the crap that I saw on that show tonight, man, and just thinking to myself, if one case of this was successful enough to make it to the news, how many other variables of the exact same situation actually occurred?
Oh, yeah. I'm at the point where I'm willing to start talking about human beings, what we're talking about, being separate from these group of people that we need to redefine the term human being to mean something more, to mean, I don't know, something progressive, something self-determined, something that separates itself from whatever, you know, animal urges, whatever external influences, whatever trendy bullshit that, you know, if you put something shiny out there in front of a dog's going to follow it, you know? A human being should have the ability to resist that kind of shit. So I don't know how it'll all work out, but I think that's one of the things we need to talk about is moving this language, you know, suggesting that human potential is something more than eating Cheetos in front of your fucking television every night and not fucking thinking about anything, just going wherever you're told to go.
Yeah, and absolutely. I think that that's something that really needs to be talked about by anybody who listens to this show and agrees with us at least 90%. You know, the idea of, and I've been kind of hinting around at this for a while, but the idea of trying to come to some statue that's outside of what human nature is ridiculous when we haven't even taken the time to realize the full potential of being human.
Right. And it's an idea that has been embraced and explored by civilizations past. And of course, it's one of those things that we're in danger of losing as the idiots become more pervasive, as they grow in strength and numbers, as it becomes more important what's going on in American Idol than what's going on with your life politically, economically, socially, you know, philosophically, when that becomes, you know, the idiocracy thing is going to happen, basically, where, you know, the average dropout now is going to be the smartest man in the world in 50 years.
And that's sad, but I see it coming, man. I mean, well, literally, I think one day real soon before the end of my life, I will be able to look at a chimpanzee and an ordinary human and think to myself, man, that chimp is so much more brilliant than this man. What the hell?
Yeah, that 1% difference didn't mean a whole lot of shit.
Nope, not a whole lot of anything.
We'll be able to co-opt that term. The true human beings will be the new 1%ers.
Right on. Well, we are, dude. We're inside a minute. So
yeah, I got nothing else really. I mean, I was going to say a little bit more about the Satanists and this effort to co-opt the idea of Satanism into some social efforts, and these kids on the internet talking about how they screw with some other kid at school or whatever, and that means they're making shit happen. Wow. You know, if you're really this sinister organization, if you're really out there making shit happen, well then, make some real shit happen, not just these little bullshit internet games that anybody fucking plays. that's my last bit, I guess.
Yeah, and anybody that actually wants to do that, my email address is all over the place. I'm down for making real shit happen.
Right on, right on.
All right, we'll talk to everybody next week.
Later.
Thank you for listening to the Ooze. Opinions expressed by our guests or callers do not necessarily represent the opinions held by TC, Zach, Jason, Matt, or any other institution represented by them. If you have been offended by the production of this show, we are sorry, but as the old expression goes, tough luck. Special thanks to Dr. Rocky DeRoma for his contribution to this outro. The Ooze is a Creative Oddity Studios product and is presented by Titanic International Network as its official Blog Talk radio show. Why waste your time with those other guys?